Let's learn. Parshas Vayelech. Chaver, how many psukim are in Vayelech? Shortest parsha?
30.
30, that's right. And how many in the Tzavim?
40.
40. And how many in Ha'azino?
70.
52, that's right. 52, correct. And how many, and what's the secret of 30, 40, 52? No, who remembers? 30 days in Elul.
Oh.
Right? 40 days if you do Elul with a Aseret Yemei Teshuva, 52 gets you to Hoshana Rabba, and if you put them all together, 30 plus 40 plus 52 is 122, that gets you to Zos Chanukah. And that's why Parshas Kisavo, which comes right before Netzavim, has 122 psukim. Okay, Azoy Shteh, Tzadike Dairenu, Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, and Rav Matal Zilber Shlita. Okay, so it's a very short parsha, but it has some really very, very fundamental messages of tshuva, of achdus, of connection, of leadership, of passing on the role of leadership. Okay, just to summarize the parsha very quickly, it starts off with Moshe Rabbeinu really saying goodbye to Klal Yisrael. We'll see what the Ramban has to say about that, and assigning Yeshua to take over. And then we have the mitzvah of Hakel, which is a mitzvah that, you know, in theory, is relevant this year, right? The Torah says that in the post-Shemitah year, in year one of the new seven-year cycle, so on Sukkot, the king comes to a Beis HaMikdash, and he reads selections of Chumash Devarim, Tikras HaTorah HaZos, he reads from this book. He doesn't read the entire Devarim, although some have that minhag on over the course of Sukkot. But the king reads selections from Chumash Devarim and a beautiful assembly of all the Jews gathering to the Beis HaMikdash. And then Moshe tells us a little bit more about his intentions to leave this world, and is instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to start preparing the Shira, which is Ha'azinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu also completes writing the Torah, hands it over to the Kohanim to serve as the official completed work of Torah, which will be kept in the which will be kept alongside the Luchos in the Aron. Okay, so it's a very short parsha, but some very important messages. All right, so let's start with the first Ramban on the parsha, Vayelech Moshe, and Moshe went. Chaver, the question is, where did Moshe go? Last week, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, everyone is standing in front of Moshe, and now it says, Vayelech Moshe, Moshe went, Vayedaber Es Hadvar Me'ele El Kol Yisrael, he went to talk to the Jews. So what do you mean? Where did he go? Wasn't everyone standing in front of him? So the Ramban explains very beautifully. Kasher Hishlim Kol Devarav. When Moshe finished his big speech, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, Az Holchu Kol Hanitzavim Lafanav Vahataf Vahanashim Ish Lahalav. Everyone went home. The children, the women, the men. Everyone went back to his tent, his or her respective tent. V'lo Hutzracha Kosev Lahazkir Zeh. And therefore the pasuk shouldn't really need to tell us that Moshe went, ki kvar amar atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem la'avrcha bebris Hashem Elokecha. In other words, everyone came to Moshe. Moshe gave the message, and now everyone went home. So where's Moshe going? Where's Vayelech Moshe? V'achar avram bebris yelchu mipanav. And after it was over, everyone went home. So what's our pasuk saying? It's a beautiful image. Chaver, this is such a beautiful image of Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership and his love for Klal Yisrael. Vayomer ha-kosov ata, the pasuk is now telling us, ki Moshe halach mi-machana levia el machana Yisrael lichvodam. That after Moshe summoned everyone to him and he gave a big drasha, so he sent everyone home, and then Moshe went from machana levia, where he was camped, closer to the center, which is where the Mishkan was. Moshe went now outward to Machane Yisrael, to the encampment of the Jewish people surrounding Machane Levi, lichvodam. He did it for their honor. Meaning what? K'mi sheyirtze lihipoter mechaveiro uva litol rishus mimenu. Like a person who's going to what? To depart from his friend. Not die, but anytime a person leaves someone else, so it's a sign of respect to ask permission from that person. So Moshe Rabbeinu is at the end of his life. He's about to send his neshama back to Kutcha Brichu. And Moshe Rabbeinu Right? Even though Moshe should come to my tent to say goodbye to me. Moshe should come visit me. But the Medrash actually says that whether you're a katan or a gadol, a sign of kavod, a proper thing to do in Derech Eretz is that you should ask permission to leave. Of course, no one's going to tell you you're not allowed to leave, right? But it's a respectful thing. It's a respectful thing to say goodbye in a thoughtful way. So Moshe Rabbeinu, how beautiful the imagery of Moshe Rabbeinu after he gathered Klal Yisrael together and he gave them his final drasha, and he warned them and tried to prep them for life after Moshe Rabbeinu. So now he goes door to door to sit for a couple of minutes with each family, with each member of Klal Yisrael, and to say, you know, I'm leaving, and I want to say thank you. It's been a good run. It's such a beautiful image of Moshe Rabbeinu's hanhaga, of his leadership. And then Moshe says, "Vayomer aleihem." Moshe tells the people, "Ben meya ve'esrim shana anochi hayom." Today I am 120 years old. What exactly is the point? What point is Moshe trying to make by saying I'm 120 years old? Thank you for telling us. You're looking for a birthday present. V'zeh l'nachim osam al inyanov. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to comfort them because obviously when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to say goodbye, it's terrifying. How are we going to go on without our Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe is saying to them, you're going to be fine without me. You don't even need me anymore. I'm washed up. I'm old. Klomer aniza kein v'ein lachem od to'eles mimeni. I'm an old man. There's nothing more for me to offer. There's no more benefit from me. Va'od, and furthermore, even if you were to argue and say that I'm not so old, even if you would say, but Moshe, you still have some strength. You can keep going. Hashem tzivani shelo a'avor sham. It's not an option because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded me that I'm not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. So, mimad afshach. I don't think I'm so great anymore, Moshe Rabbeinu. It's time for a new leader. It's time for a younger person to take over. And furthermore, there's no option. Va'al tifchadu va'al tiru. But Moshe is mechazik them. Right? Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Ki Hashem ya'avor imachem. Lo yisalik shchinasu mikem ba'avuri. You shouldn't feel that just because I'm leaving, Hashem is going to leave. Hashem is not going to abandon you. The Shechina will never depart from you. And more than that, not only will Hashem be with you, but who better to represent me than my beloved Talmud Yoshua? Yoshua hu ha'over lefnechem bimkomi. So don't feel like there's going to be this, you know, terrible void in your life. You still have a Kadosh Baruch Hu with you. You'll still have a very fine leader, Yoshua, with you. You don't have to worry. There's nothing to be alarmed about. I'm just remembering now. I don't remember where I read this. I remember I read once that when Rabbi Saul Salanter was at the end of his life, so there were different. They didn't want to leave him alone. There were different people taking a turn to stay with him around the clock. So at one point, as it was getting closer to the end, there was a young Talmud who was sitting with Rabbi Saul Salanter. That you can imagine how scary that would be. Imagine you're on your watch. Rabbi Saul Salanter passes away. No one wants to be that guy. So Rabbi Saul Salanter, I remember reading that when he was sitting with the people as he was approaching the last moments of his life, he would say to the people who were sitting with him, "Don't worry, whatever happens, happens." And I know it's you probably think it's very scary to be left alone in a room with a dead body. It's not so scary. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's going to be fine. And the point that the Sefer was making, B'derech Musar, was like, can you imagine? Like, Rabbi Saul Salanter spending the last minutes of his life, he probably wants to like think about himself, maybe for a couple of seconds. And here he spent the whole time, as he's about to die, worrying about that this Talmud shouldn't be nervous about being left alone in a room with a dead body. That's incredible. So I just got that hergish now. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to leave this world. And is he thinking about Moshe Rabbeinu? No. Literally till his last moment, he's worried about Klal Yisrael. That you shouldn't be nervous, and you shouldn't feel alone, and you shouldn't be afraid. It's just an incredible, again, display of his love for Klal Yisrael, and the full depth of his leadership. That they shouldn't feel abandoned. Hashem's with you. Yeshua's going to be with you. Now, Chevra, you'll ask a simple kasha. What's the kasha you want to ask? How does the Torah paint a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu at the very end of the Torah? Do they paint the picture of an old man bent over with his cane? Not at all. The Torah describes Moshe as being full of energy, full of vigor. Va'af al pi shemoshe Rabbeinu, says the Ramban, and even though Moshe Rabbeinu, haya b'sakfo uvivriyuso, Moshe Rabbeinu was at full strength and full health, kasher heyira kosav, as the Pasuk says, lo chasa eino v'lo nas lecho, it says that his eye had not dimmed, his drive, his energy had not waned. Amar lahem kein lenachamam. Moshe Rabbeinu said this to them to serve as a source of comfort for them. That they should feel that what? Again, even though really the truth of the matter is Moshe had more strength. Right? But Moshe wanted to paint a picture of himself as being old and washed up, and it's I can't provide for you anymore. So don't even feel bad about it. Don't be sad. Just keep going weiter. You're going to Eretz Yisrael. It's so exciting. Hashem is with you. Yeshua is with you. Everything's going to be good. That's how the Ramban explains it. I have to just mention, because whenever I come to this pasuk about Moshe Rabbeinu's, you know, dying with full strength, and here Moshe Rabbeinu is really dying, primarily because Hashem says he has to die. So it reminds me of something that I saw in the Haggadah Shel Pesach Shemen HaTov, in the Haggadah, which I'm holding here in front of myself. It says, "Hine yadua umafursam hu divrei ha'admor mi papa Montreal." The Papa Rav from Montreal said the following thing when Rav Aaron of Belz passed away. Okay, he was a Belzer Chassid. The Papa Rav was a big Talmud of Rav Aaron of Belz. There's some very beautiful stories about him going to the Belzer Rebbe. And when Rav Aaron of Belz was Kodesh Kadashim. Chever Rav Aaron of Belz was Mamish, the highest Rav Aaron of Belz. So when Rav Aaron of Belz passed away, the Papa Rav from Montreal said a hesped. And he said, "I don't understand." He said, "I don't understand. Eich anu mavina misas Rabbeinu, shahaya mamish malach elokim, ve'eich shayich bo misa." He couldn't wrap his head. Ah, Chaim ben Luna, shalom aleichem. Welcome, Victor. He couldn't wrap his head around the fact that the Rav Aaron of Belz died. He was a tzaddik. He was a malach. How is it possible for such a holy person to die? He couldn't fathom that such a tzaddik could actually die. Ready for this? Listen, v'teretzu zatzal. So he answered, in being maspid Rav Aaron of Belz, he said it must be. Hine yadua itzel chaside Belz kama chaviv v'tar v'kadosh hu kol minagu minag shel avos Belz. We know that the Belzers take their own minhagim very, very seriously. Okay. V'lachein. So therefore, when Rav Aaron of Belz heard that his father died, so he said, it must be that the minag in Belz is that you have to die. So the only reason Rav Aaron of Belz died is because that was the minag in Belz. My father died, my grandfather died. So Rav Aaron of Belz was Makai. They took the minhagim very seriously. Not that he had to die, but he died because that's the minag. That's the minag by the tzaddikim of Belz, that eventually they die. No? That's incredible, no? So that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu die? Moshe Rabbeinu ran out of energy. When you do aveiras, it saps your energy. It sucks the life out of you. But if you're a tzaddik like a Moshe Rabbeinu, whose face was shining, whose eyesight was 20/20 at 120 years old, who is still running marathons, you know, as fast as a young, strong individual, even though he, again, in terms of his years, he seemed old, but lo nas lecho, he hadn't lost his energy, right? So why did Moshe Rabbeinu die? He died because Hashem said he had to die. But he's comforting Klal Yisrael by saying to the Jewish people, don't be sad, I'm an old guy, I don't have so much to offer anymore, and everything's going to be fine. Again, it's just the self-sacrifice of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is really quite remarkable. He quotes Rashi and Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says that maybe the pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I can't lead you out to Melchama anymore. Right? He quotes Aldas Rabbi Avraham. That's Ibn Ezra. Laseisu lavo lemelchama. Moshe says, I'm no longer able to take you out and bring you in, is a reference to war, because maybe even though his eyesight was still strong, and even though he had a certain, you know, I guess, intellectual drive, and mind was very sharp, but it could be that his body was not able to lead them in war anymore, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says it's time for some younger leadership. The Ramban disagrees. He says, I don't think that's correct. And then he ends off with one final thought, which is very interesting, from Chazal. Chazal say, Rabbeinu Amru, the Gemara in Sota says, Melamed shinistatmu mimenu mayanos hachachma. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know the end of his life was coming? If he's so healthy, if he's so alive, how does he know that his time is growing close? The Gemara says because the wellsprings of his wisdom had become nistatmu, had become blocked. In other words, he was no longer, his clarity in Torah, his ability to bring down, his connection to Hashem was starting to get what? Specifically, not to Hashem, but to Torah, specifically to Chachma. His connection to the wellsprings of Chachma was starting to close. V'hayazeh b'maisa neis. And again, this was also just part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually getting old and forgetting things, but Moshe Rabbeinu, in a miraculous way, this is what was happening. Shelo yid'agu laseis gedula liyoshua b'fanav. So that the people wouldn't hesitate to what? To start respecting Yoshua. And Hashem had to make Moshe transition so that people would accept the leadership of Yoshua. I saw once in a sefer an interesting pshat. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know that he's going to die? No one knows. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos that no one knows the day they're going to die. David HaMelech wanted to know. Hashem said, I can't tell you exactly. How did Moshe know he was about to die? So I saw a pshat in the sefer once that it's this. The fact that he lost his connection to Torah, right? He was no longer accessing Torah the way that he was. And he said, hold on a second, Torah is a thing of this world. Lo bashamayim, right? The Torah was given to this world. And now, all of a sudden, I'm not connecting to Torah as much as I used to. So it must be that I'm no longer in this world. I must be in Shamayim. Oh, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, it must be that the end of my life is very close. It must be that my end is near. That's perhaps how Moshe was able to figure out his loss of connection to Torah meant that he was losing his connection to this world. Because again, Torah is primarily for this world, which is a very, again, powerful idea to think about. Okay, let's go on to the next piece. Let's go on to Pasuk Tes. Okay, the Pasuk says that Moshe wrote the Torah and he gave it to the Kohanim, those who were in charge of the Aron. What exactly did Moshe write? So the Ramban says, I'll tell you what he wrote. We have to be careful when reading this parsha because it talks about writing Ha'azinu, that's next week's parsha, and it also talks about writing this Torah, and it talks about the king at Hakel reading this Torah. So we have to clarify, when is it talking about just Chumash Devarim? When is it talking about the entire Torah? When is it talking about Parshas Ha'azinu? So says the Ramban, V'yichtov Moshe Satorah Zos, Moshe wrote the Torah, means Moshe wrote the entirety of the Torah. Mitchilas Bereishis Ad Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Moshe wrote the entire Torah from beginning to end. It's an interesting shaila. What day of the week was it when Moshe died? It was Shabbos. So how could he write a Sefer Torah on Shabbos? Okay, so that's a great question. The Rishonim discussed that question, and all the Svarim discussed that question. But Moshe wrote the entire Torah on his last day. Va'afal pi shebekan kosuv tikra asat Torah hazos neged kol Yisrael. And even though it says, just a couple of psukim later, that the king is going to read this Torah before the Jewish people, what is this Torah? V'hu romez l'sefer hazeh shel eil ha'dvarim al das raboseinu. Reading the Torah, what did the king read at Hakel? He came to the Beis HaMikdash. They built a big wooden platform. The king would stand or perhaps even sit to read the Torah. The people had to stand, listening to the king. He would read selections I told you from Chumash Devarim. So maybe that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down? No, says the Ramban. Aval b'zeh chazer uva'er. Here it's clarifying for us. That's not what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Moshe wrote the entire Torah. And that's why it says a couple of psukim later in Pasuk of Dalid, "Vayhi kechalos Moshe lichtov es divrei haTorah hazos al sefer." Moshe wrote down the Torah al sefer ad tumam. Ad tumam means until its completion, says the Ramban. "Vize yichlo kol haTorah kula." Moshe Rabbeinu ended his life by writing the entire Torah, an authentic copy of the entire Torah, which again would be entrusted to the Kohanim. Additionally, Moshe Rabbeinu may have written, not may have, he also wrote Sifrei Torah for each of the Shvatim, but this was the official, you know, signed copy of Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, which would be kept in the possession of the Kohanim, kept in the Aron. Okay. So Ramban just clarifies that point. Let's talk about Hakel. What's the point of Hakel? Who comes to Hakel? The men come to Hakel. The women come to Hakel. The children come to Hakel. Everyone comes to Hakel. What is the point of Hakel? So we said, you're going to read, the king is going to read selections of Chumash Devarim. By the way, the Medrash, the Sifra, says the king would also read Parshas Kedoshim, because Parshas Kedoshim has so many mitzvos and so many fundamentals of the Torah as well. But what's the point of Hakel? The Pasuk says, Laman Yishma'u u'laman Yilmedu. The Pasuk says, so that you will hear, and so that you will learn. What will you learn? If you read the rest of the Pasuk, it says you'll learn to fear Hashem. So who's coming to hear? Who's coming to learn? What does that mean? Ha'anashim v'hanashim. Both the men and the women are coming to learn. The women are coming to learn, but women don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah like a man. So the Ramban says, but what are we learning here? We're not learning Gemara. We're learning what? We're learning Yirat Shamayim, the Pasuk says. That they should learn to fear Hashem. That's a lesson that everyone has to learn. Right? In terms of textual learning, there may be different expectations for men and women. But when it comes to learning Yirat Shamayim, Ha'anashim V'Hanashim, the men and the women both have to learn Yirat Shamayim. Ki Gam Hein Shomos V'Lomdos Liras Hashem. Because they all need to come to hear, to learn, to study the sugya of what it means to be a God-fearing person. And then it says the children come. What is the role of the children? Uvenayim asher lo yadu, the children who do not yet understand, yishma'u v'lamdu, they will hear and they will also learn. What will they learn? Who's this referring to? Heim hataf. This refers to the children. Now you'll see the Gemara, he's going to quote it in a minute, the Gemara says the taf is mamish babies in their cradles. The Ramban says, no, taf are just young kids. Taf are the little kids, the kindergarteners, the first graders. Ki yishmu'u v'yish'alu. They will listen, and they'll ask their father, or they'll ask their mother, what's the king talking about? What's he reading? Va'avos yargilom v'yachanchu osam. And it's a great public gathering for a chinuch opportunity. The parents will explain to the child, oh, the king just read the psukim of Shema Yisrael, the king just read the psukim of Ahavta, the king just read how important it is. He says, the parent says to the child, Shefela, it's so important to keep the Torah and the mitzvos. The king just read about all the brachos that a person gets if they live a life of Torah and mitzvos. Says the Ramban, because I think according to the Pshat, ki eina taf hazeh yonke shadayim. We're not talking about babies who are still nursing. Avalheim ketane hashanim hakrovim liyischanich. Ramban says, I think the Pasuk is talking about little kids who are at the age of chinuch. And therefore we want to teach them. We want to make sure that this experience, again, sometimes you have a powerful experience as a kid, and you don't understand. You know, they say, my father, my grandfather took me when I was a little kid. I remember, I'll just tell a personal experience from when I was a kid. I wasn't so little, but I think of it as like a holy experience from my childhood. We used to go on Erev Yom Kippur. I was living in Philly, and we would drive to real Philadelphia. I was living in a suburb of Philadelphia. We drive to real Philadelphia, and we go to the Chabad over there, Rabbi Shem Tov, and we'd go to the mikveh there, and we'd shluck kaparis, and we'd shech chickens, and then Rabbi Shem Tov would give us lekach, he'd give us honey cake, and give us a big bracha. It was a very chashuv thing. It was a very special thing for my youth. Right? So did I understand everything that was happening? I didn't understand everything that was happening, but it sticks out of my mind as being a very unique and special experience. So you bring the kids, says the Ramban, not the babies, right? But you bring the young children that they can ask questions and they can talk about it, and it'll instill Yirat Shamayim within them in the future. Ki lamala amar v'lamdu v'yaru. Just like the adults are able to learn that experience now, you're training the kids that they should also learn from that experience in the future. Avam Rabosenu amru, but the Gemara has a different shot. The Gemara says, Ha'anashim lilmod. The men who are able, who are more fluent in Hebrew language, more fluent in the language of Torah from their Torah study, come to really learn. It's a learning, it's a yom iyun, it's a learning experience. V'hanashim lishmava. And the women, they come to hear, again, they come to hear and be inspired, even though they maybe don't have, again, the same textual skills to understand, but they come to hear what they're able to hear, and to understand Yirat Shamayim. V'hataf lamaba. And why do the little babies come? According to the Gemara, you would bring literally nursing children, litein schar lemivi ehem, to give reward to those who bring them. It was really more about the parents, that the parents would schlep the kids along, and they would say, what's the point of schlepping this kid along? You know what? It's a little mesiras nefesh for your child's chinuch, even though the child doesn't get anything out of the experience. But I'll just add to that, of course a child gets something out of the experience. You don't think a nursing baby that comes to the Beis HaMikdash is uplifted by that experience? A nursing baby who comes to a holy place, of course, is influenced by that experience. It's very, very important to realize that everything we hear and everything that we see has a hashpa on us. Certainly as, you know, adults, but even as little children, it has a transformative effect on a person. It's not a small thing. Okay? All right, friends, let's get to a very important vart in tshuva. Okay? And this is probably the most important Ramban for us today. Okay? So let's listen very carefully. First, let me read you the psukim, a description of what's going to happen in the future. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, here's what's going to happen. You're going to die, and the Jewish people are going to struggle. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, I'm just reading Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, hincha shochiv im avosecha, you're going to lie with your forefathers, which means that you're going to pass away. Vekom ha'am hazev v'zona acherei Elohei nechar ha'aretz. And the people are going to come, they're going to rise up, they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and eventually they're going to stray after all sorts of foreign gods, and it's going to get really ugly. Vazavani, they're going to abandon me. Vehefer as Brisi, they're going to violate the covenant that I made with them. Asher karti ito, asher karati ito. V'chora api vo bayomahu. Hashem says, I'm going to get very angry on that day. Vazavtim, and I will forsake them. Yikes. Scary pasuk. Vistarti fanai mehem. And I'm going to hide my face from them. Terrifying. Vahoyo le'echol. And the people are going to be prey. They're going to become prey. In other words, the enemies are going to prey upon us. Umetza'uhu ros rabos vitzaros. And we're going to encounter all sorts of terrible difficulties. Va'amar bayomahu. And then the Jewish people are going to say on that day, "Halo al ki ein elokai bekirbi matzauni haraos ha'ela," because Hashem is not in my midst, that all these bad things are happening to me. And then pasuk yud ches, listen, "Va'anochi haster astir panai bayomahu al kol hara asher asa." And then it sounds like Hashem says, "And I'm going to hide my face again at that time." Rav Sadia Gaon learns the Pasuk, and the scary way to learn the Pasuk, the not so encouraging way to learn the Pasuk, is that Hashem's going to hide his face because of our sins, and we're going to say, ay, 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 all this is happening because God is hiding from us, and then Hashem is going to hide himself even more. Very scary. Actually, Rashi in Sefer Yeshaya says this is the scariest Pasuk in the Chumash. Okay, so a little trivia, a little Torah trivia, yeah, just to keep this terrifying Pasuk light. If someone asks you, what is the scariest pasuk in Chumash? You could say, it's Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk Yud Ches, according to Rashi and Sefer Yeshaya. V'anochi haster astir panai bayomahu. Hashem says, I will haster astir, a double concealment. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, sometimes Hashem is hiding from you, and at least you know Hashem is hiding from you. But sometimes, lo aleinu, Hashem is so hidden that we don't even know that there's a God anymore. Hashem is so hidden from us that the fact that he's hiding is itself hidden from us. That's the scariest thing in the world. But the Ramban actually gives us tremendous chizuk. Okay? Because what did the Jewish people say? When the bad things befell them, what did they say? They said, you know why this is happening? Because we did averos, and Hashem is hiding from us. In other words, they take a certain accountability for their actions, and that actually causes Hashem to hide his face a second time, not an additional time, but a second way, a different type of hiding his face, which is actually much better. Because we did tshuva. Listen to the words of the Ramban. Okay? I'm spoiling it by giving you too much of a heads up, but I want you to be able to understand it when we go through it. Says the Ramban, V'tam v'omer bayomahu halo alki ein alokai b'kirbi. What's going to happen? We're going to say on that day, why did all these things happen? Because God is not in my midst. Einenu vidoy gamor. This is not actually, the Jews are not actually all going to, you know, onu v'amar, everyone gets up and proclaims at the same time. We're all going to say, ki ein alokai bekirbi. It's not going to be a a formal vidoy. It's not going to be a verbal declaration. It's not a vidoy gamar. It's not an outward open confession. Ke'inyan v'hisvadu es avonam. Like it says in Parshas Bechukosai. Oops, sorry about that. Like it says in Bechukosai at the end of the Tochacha, right? It says that eventually, when all these bad things happen, you're going to get up and do a real vidui. Ashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu, alchet shechatanu lefanecha, alchet shechatanu lefanecha. Right? This is not that. Avalhu hirhur v'charata. But it's that first emotional movement of the heart. It's that first thought of tshuva. It's that first little bit of regret. Namely, sheyeschartu al ma'alam. Starting to feel bad that I rebelled against Hashem, that I was ma'al, that I misused my kochos, that I strayed from God, v'yakiru es ashemim heim. And it's an initial recognition that we are guilty. In other words, they're taking responsibility, chevra. They're saying, it's my fault. Right? That's the hirhur tshuva that the Jewish people are going to have when they realize that all these bad things have befallen. They're not going to point the finger and say it's God's fault. They're not going to blame their chavrus or their parents. Every Jew is going to say, Hashem is not bikir bi. Hashem's not within me. You know why? Because I have not made myself a vessel for elokus, for godliness. And that hirhur, that moment of charata, that I rebelled against Hashem, that willingness to say, I am guilty, is actually a very important partial first step to tshuva. Okay? Let's pause for a second. Let's stop the Ramban, because to make it more meaningful and more understandable, I want to add something. Okay, I was reading and learning over the course of Rosh Hashanah, the Rav Soloveitchik Machzor in Rosh Hashanah. So in the Rav Soloveitchik Machzor in Rosh Hashanah, by Avinu Malkeinu on page 384, Rav Soloveitchik asks a question that's very, very fundamental, that I hope you asked yourself this question at some point over Rosh Hashanah. Again, maybe you thought about it at some point. One of the confusing things about Rosh Hashanah, and I spoke about it a lot over Rosh Hashanah, is that Rosh Hashanah is part of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It doesn't really feel like that so much. No? Does it feel like... It feels like it's Rosh Hashanah. Now we start the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and Shabbos Tshuva, and Yom Kippur. That's like the real Tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is not... Is it a day of Tshuva? It's a day of crowning the king. It's a day of Shofar. Do we talk about Averos in Rosh Hashanah? That's how Rav Soloveitchik really asked the question. There's no slichos, there's no ashamnu bagadnu on Rosh Hashanah. And there's not really much talk at all, except for maybe a couple of lines in Avinu Malkeinu, which the Arizal said you shouldn't even say, where we say, Avinu Malkeinu chatanu lefanecha. There's no talk about tshuva, and there's no talk about sin on Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Soloveitchik said the following. It's a very deep verb. Rav Soloveitchik said, what is the shofar supposed to do? So he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says the shofar is supposed to wake us up. Right? He's supposed to startle us back to a recognition of Hashem. So on Rosh Hashanah, and now I'm reading from the words of the Rav, on Rosh Hashanah a Jew is involved in a preliminary stage of tshuva called hirhur tshuva. But the Ramban just taught us. There's something called an awakening of tshuva. In contrast to actual tshuva, the process of hirhur tshuva is amorphous and ill-defined. Yet despite the lack of definition, hirhur tshuva occupies a special place in rabbinic thought. And what's the example that Rav Soloveitchik brings? The Gemara in Meseches Kiddushin on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. What would be the halacha? Jake, what would be the halacha if a guy is standing under a chuppah and he has his Eidei Kiddushin and he's holding a ring in his hand and he says to his beloved Eishes Chayil to be Harei At Mikudeshes Li Almenas Shani Tzadik. Behold, you are betrothed to me on condition that I am a tzaddik. The Gemara says, even if he's a Rasha Gamor, that's the Lashon of the Gemara. Look it up, Kedushin Mem Tesam and Beis. Even if everyone in the crowd laughs when he says it, you tzaddik, Rasha Gamor, Harei. So, what do you think? Is it Kedushin binding, Jake? What do you think? It's a binding kedushin or not? They're halachically married or not? On condition of a tzaddik.
I think based on what you just said, probably, yeah.
Mikudeshes, mazel tov, mazel tov. Okay, you pass him the gun. Mikudeshes, the Gemara says mikudeshes. Why? The Gemara says because maybe he had, in the language of the Gemara, a hirhur tshuva in his heart. That's one of the most gevaldic gemaras, chavra. In 1 second, this guy went from Rasha Gamor, you hear? Rav Jordan, you hear? In 1 second, he went from being a Rasha Gamor to being what? To being a halachic tzaddik. That's incredible. It's like the Baal HaTanya. Arya, what does Baal HaTanya say in the first parak of Igaris HaTshuva? Baal HaTanya says, don't confuse tshuva and kapara. Kapara is the cleanup. If you make a big mess, it takes, you can't clean it up by snapping your fingers, right? But you could say sorry in a real way in 1 second. So Baal HaTanya says, tshuva means returning to Hashem. The cleanup takes a little time. The kapara, the washing, the cleaning. The Gemara talks about different stages of life. Maybe you need to suffer, maybe you need a Yom Kippur, maybe you even need death. The cleanup takes time. But tshuva is aziva sachet. It's a change of heart. It's a moment, in the words of Rav Soloveitchik, it's only through hearer tshuva, which is spontaneous, instinctive, and sudden. In 1 second, an individual can live the jarring experience of awakening from spiritual somnolence? I don't know that word. S-O-M-N-O-L-E-N-C-E. Spiritual slumber. He's awakened from his spiritual slumber. That's what the shofar is trying to do. Right? It takes us from a sleepy state to, in a second, it wakes you up. I need to be a yid. I need to think about Hashem. What's wrong with me? How do I not think about Hashem more? Rav Soloveitchik gave a second example. He gave the incredible Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin, of the martyrdom of Rav Chananya ben Tradion. Rav Chananya ben Tradion was burnt at the stake. The Roman executioner, he put Yimach Shemo, well, only initially, I should say. He took wool, and he soaked it in water, and he put it on his chest to prolong the agony of this Heil Gatana, this Holy Tzaddik. And as he's dying, he asked Rav Chananya, he said, is there going to be a place in the world to come for me? And he said, you know, look what you're doing. I mean, you're a murderer. You're killing me, right? The executioner was intensely moved by his suffering. He said, could you guarantee me a place in the world to come if I take the wool off your heart? To which he responded, yes, I will get you into Olam Haba if you're willing to speed up my death so that I don't have to suffer. And that's what he did. He felt bad. He had to hear a tshuva. He did a little act of lessening the suffering of a great tzaddik, and then eventually he jumped into the fire himself. He killed himself. He threw himself into the fire, and a baskal came out of the shemayim and said, "Rabbi Chanani ben Tradion and his executioner, welcome to Olam Haba." Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is crying when he hears the baskal. He's crying. He says, "It's incredible. Some people work their whole life to get Olam Haba, and some people get it in a second. So what does that mean? How does an executioner? How does a murderous Roman all of a sudden become a tzaddik in a second?" Rav Soloveitchik said, that's the power of hirhur tshuva. And Rav Soloveitchik concluded by saying, sometimes we confuse a maisa mitzvah and a kiyum ha-mitzvah. Yaakov Yehuda, what's the difference between a maisa mitzvah and a kiyum ha-mitzvah? The maisa is the action. The kiyum is what it's supposed to invoke within a person, the feeling it's supposed to awaken, to evoke within a person. In other words, the maisa mitzvah is the technical way how to blow the shofar, what type of shofar is kosher, what type of shofar is not kosher. But the kiyum ha-mitzvah, if you want to really fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, you have to close your eyes, you have to let it hit you. It has to wake a person up. It has to be jarring. One is not obligated, in the words of Rav Soloveitchik, only to hear the shofar blast, but he has to experience the jarring awakening associated with hear her tshuva. Okay? And that's really the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. Rav Soloveitchik said, and it hits you so hard, if you listen to the shofar in a deep way, it's supposed to hit you so hard, I don't need to keep hitting myself, Hashamnu Bagadu, I don't have to talk about my averos. The blast of the shofar wakes me up so significantly, so suddenly, that it's almost like the greatest form of tshuva. It doesn't require the steps of tshuva, it doesn't even require a vidui of enunciating the averos that I did. Okay, so Chavon, let's come back to the Ramban and finish the Ramban. So says the Ramban, that's what Klal Yisrael, this Shabbos Shuvah, Parshas Vayelech, it's a very small parsha, but it hits home in a real way. The Pasuk says that the Jewish people are going to say in their hearts, they're not even going to say it out loud, they're going to say in their hearts, a hirhor, a charata, I feel bad, I'm guilty, I should have been a better Jew. So how does Hashem respond? So the pasuk says, "Va'anochi haster astir panai." I'm going to hide my face, pam acheres, another time. So you're feeling, ay, 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 this is terrible. I'm trying to come back to you, Hashem, and you're hiding from me more? Says the Ramban, Cheva, it's such a chizuk. No, it's not at all what it means. What does it really mean? Ki ba'avur shehir haru Yisrael belibam, ki chatul elokim. When a Jew has a hear her tshuva and he says, ay, I feel bad that I sinned against Hashem, and a Jew acknowledges because Hashem wasn't part of my life that all these things started to happen, my life started to fall apart, and Hashem sees how sincere you are. So by doing so, you become worthy of Hashem's kindness. That Hashem should what? That Hashem should help you, that Hashem should save you. Shekvar kafru b'avodah zarah, because now you're denying the avodah zarah. You're saying all the narishkeit that I got involved with, none of it helped me, and all the trouble that befell me was because I abandoned Hashem. Ukeinian sha'amar, like the pasuk says in Yirmiyah. Chaver, this is a very strong pasuk. The Navi says at the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah, hinini nishpat osach. You know why I'm so angry at you? Hashem says, you know why I judge you so sternly? Al amreich lo chatasi. Because you keep denying the fact that you've even sinned. At least have the courage to admit you did an avera. At least be honest, right? If you don't, Hashem says, I'm going to be really mad at you. But Klal Yisrael here in this pasuk, we're admitting. We're coming clean. We're admitting, I'm sorry, we messed up. We admit it. So why is Hashem's response hiding his face? Says the Ramban, no. Hold on, says the Ramban. Ulekach amar, ki al kol hara hagadola, Sha'asu livtoch ba'avodah zarah, because of all of this bad that you did, by what? By believing in avodah zarah. Yastir od panim mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now that you've acknowledged that it was bad, I'm going to hide myself from you again, but in a different way. I'm gonna change the hester panim, right? I'm gonna put on a different mask. It's also a mask of concealment, but it's a much, much better one. What does that mean? Lo kehester panim harisho, not like the original hester panim, shehester pnei rachamav, where I hid my kindness, my mercy from you, and because of that, mitzaum ros, rabus fitzaros, all of these bad things happened to you. Rakshiyu behester pnei hagu'ula. Now Hashem says, okay, I'm turning back to you, but I'm still a little bit concealed from you in the sense of what? I'm not ready to what? To redeem you 100%, to bring Mashiach. V'yamdu b'havtachas pnei rachamav. But at least now, my face of compassion is turned towards you, and you start to believe that there's going to be a geula, and that we can reconcile, and that we can get the Beis HaMikdash back, and there can be a Mashiach. And then I start to get the chizuk of Chumash Vayikra, v'af gam zos biosim be'eretz oyveim, that even when you find yourself in the land of your enemies, lo ma'astim, you won't be despised. Logaltim, and you won't be repulsed by Hashem. Says, I won't be disgusted by you. Achi yosifu ala charata niskeres vidu gamor uchuva shlema. Hashem says, but at least now you'll start to believe. Oh, I'm getting there. I'm moving in the right direction. Hashem says, now I'll smile at you. You're still in gullus. Still got a lot of cleaning up to do. We still got to bring the gula. But Hashem is smiling at us. Hashem is proud of our honesty, our hear her tshuva, and we're going to keep working towards that vidoy gamor, towards that tshuva shleima, till we achieve v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, until we come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu entirely. That's the tshuva, that's the partial tshuva that we're doing in this pasuk, just by having a hearer tshuva of regret, of taking responsibility, of not blaming, but saying, I'm the one who's guilty. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself a different way, not a second way, not a second in terms of a doubling down, but a different way, a way that's more encouraging and invites us to move towards tshuva shleima. Okay? So Rabbi Say, it's a big chizuk for us this week of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Hashem should help us. We had the hearer tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. We heard the shofar. We got that first jarring blast of a move towards tshuva. And now we have to start cleaning up the details. The Ashandus, the Bagadus, the Al-Khayt this, the Al-Khayt that. We have to get into the details to do tshuva gemura, to do a vidoy gamor, to really talk it out with Hashem, and then to be zocha to the Gula Shlema. All right? Questions, comments, thoughts, additions? Reb Zach, let's hear.
How is this concealment better than the other one? How does it encourage you to come?
Because Hashem says I'm still hidden in the sense that I haven't revealed myself completely to the world. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash yet. We don't have Mashiach. There's still going to be people in the world who don't like the Jewish people, and there's still going to be people who say things that are anti-God, and there's still going to be temptation in the world. But at least Hashem is sort of extending a hand to us, is smiling at us. You know, you could see Hashem's smile behind the mask. Again, the world is still the mask. We're not fully redeemed yet. But it's no longer God hiding with anger towards you. Right? Hashem is smiling at you. The world still needs a refuah shlema. But at least you feel like Hashem is on your side. Originally, when we started to do Avodah Zarah, Hashem got angry at us and turned away from us. He hid his face from us completely. I don't want to have anything to do with you. But now that we said, but Hashem, we love you, we're sorry. So Hashem smiles at us. And now we start to work together to clean up the world, to bring Mashiach. So that's the second type of face hiding, which is actually so much more encouraging. Again, a lot of people read this pasuk as that, you know, Hashem's going to hide further from you and it's going to get even scarier. And there's a truth to that also. There's a certain, you know, darkness gets even darker before the dawn. But the Ramban is reading it, no, look, a Jew is trying to come back and Hashem is trying to meet him somewhere along the way. It's incredibly uplifting.